taking a look at this that we see in Philippians about the Lord working in His people, working in His children, and looking to understand more about that. It is our Lord that worketh in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure, and that's so by virtue of the Spirit of God that lives within us. The Spirit of God's always in time with the Lord. He's always desirous to do the will of the Lord. Yet we are in this, the way that the Lord has left us, we who are saved, we have this old flesh, and that's contrary to the Lord, and is at enmity with the Lord. We can overcome. We have the provision to be able to mortify the deeds of the flesh, but we must avail ourselves to that, and we must know what it is. In ignorance, we cannot serve the Lord. In ignorance, we cannot grow up in the Lord, can we? We can't do that in ignorance, and we're going to touch on more of that as we go. The Spirit of the Lord lives within us and is yet in this dynamic, in this way that it is with us, is yet willing, which is a marvelous thing. It's a wondrous thing. I marvel at it. The Spirit of the Lord is willing to allow Himself to be grieved. You know, if we put it on that aspect, or look at it from that direction, that perspective, He's willing. Now, I'm not saying that God wants to be grieved. Does God want to be grieved? Not at all. But He does put Himself in a position that we may grieve or we may quench the Spirit of God. We're warned against it. So that's how we know that it can happen. And so we need to understand about the Spirit that is within us. We need to understand about our flesh, which we've talked about. And then we're in the midst of dealing with this, how the Lord has equipped us. He has equipped us well. And here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, it tells us, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's all things. It's at our disposal. It is there. We must avail ourselves to it. We've been given this blessing of prayer, which we took a look at, and we can petition the Lord for anything and everything. I mean, the Lord, you know, it's speculated about the Russians running low on ammunition and stockpiles of weapons and such. Does the Lord ever run low on anything? Never. Never. He never runs low on anything. He's got more blessings than we can receive. And we've been given this blessing of prayer where we can petition Him for our need. But, you know, we've got to be thinking about it. And we've got to have our hearts bent towards it. And what is that which will glorify the Lord in our lives? What is it that we have that we're dealing with and we're fretting about that I'm wrestling with, or I'm troubled about, or that has me down, or is depressing me, or giving me trouble about myself, or, you know, the needs that we have in the church, the needs of those in the church, the needs of those that we know of outside of the church, the need of our government, the need of our society, the need of sinners. We can go to the Lord with all of that. And He has the answer for all of that. And we need to ask in faith that He will grant that. I mean, that's how Jesus tells us to pray, right? And so He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to living before Him, walking with Him, walking humbly with Him, and that pertain to godliness, being like Jesus. I think that's a fine definition of being of godliness, is being like the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord and escape corruption, as this passage tells us. In verse number 5, we have this command, this exhortation to give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, that is manliness. So I think it's connected to maturity. We need to grow up. We need to keep on growing up. I've been saved since 1987, and so you can do the math on that. This is 2022, and so what would that be? 35 years that I've been saved. I need to keep on growing up too. We never arrive. You know, if we get to a point that we think, well, I've planed out, then we've got the wrong outlook. There's always something more to grow up in our Lord. We need to add to this faith that we've been given and that we possess and that is in us. We need to add and give all diligence to add virtue And to virtue, we need to add knowledge, and that's by the Scripture, knowing the Word of God, asking the Lord for the application. To virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, self-control. It's easy to be uncontrolled. That just comes natural. We're good at being uncontrolled. Well, we just turn it loose. Let your mouth run, let your thoughts run, let your actions run. Well, that just comes easy. But to have that reeled in, and as the Scripture tells us in Corinthians, tells us that every thought needs to be brought captive to Christ. And if we can bring every thought by the Lord's help and the Lord's power to bring every thought captive to Christ, it will affect our mouths and it'll have a good result in our actions, the balance of our conversation. So temperance. And then to temperance, to add patience. And we all know about patience. We can have a tendency to brag about our lack of patience, which we don't need to do. We just need to realize that we do need it. We need to abide in the waiting on the Lord and things. We need to pray. We need to ask the Lord for help. We ask the Lord often, brethren. We pray. And I think it's good to ask the Lord to protect us. We thank the Lord for protecting us. But sometimes I get slowed down in the plan and the way and the timing and the schedule that I've got. That gets changed. And you know, it very well may be that that change is the Lord protecting me and mine. Clarissa and I about had a head-on the other day. And the Lord took care of us. He protected us. And it may have been one little, and I can't remember the events before that, but if I was anxious to leave where we were, but there was one more little thing that needed to be dealt with or done, that could have made all the difference, speaking as a man, all the difference in regards to that head on that we almost had. And the Lord took care of us, protected us. It was close. So when we have asking the Lord to take care of us and protect us, when we have changes to things, we need to add patience by saying, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing. Today, maybe I'm not a condoner of being late, okay? I don't want to be late. We need to try not to be late. But sometimes being late is what the Lord uses to take care of us. Add to temperance, self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness. So we need to add godliness. And again, that's being like Jesus. And to add to godliness, brotherly kindness, our care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, our eternal family. And granted, our family by blood will eternally be our family. But the kinship that we have in Christ even transcends those things, because that's eternal. That is eternal. And we love our family. We're thankful for our family. I'm not saying that. But brotherly kindness, being pitiful one towards another, and being forgiving and being merciful and being gracious and giving the benefit of the doubt. We need to add that. We have to work on that. And then that brotherly kindness, a charity. And so there's something here that I want to show you. And it's just, we'll not, and Terry Wilson says he's doing better today, so I'm thankful for that. And we're not going to spend any time on this, from the standpoint of study, but I wanted to bring this up that we might understand these parallels. Here we're told in this passage to add. We in adding, we need to know that we lack. We need to know what we've been told to add. We need to understand that it's important to add to our faith these things. And in Galatians chapter 5, we're told about the fruit or the works of the flesh, which, we know that that's there and we need that spelled out for us. But tell you what, don't spend any time on it other than recognizing what it is and steering away from it. But then we're told about the fruit of the Spirit. And so over here on the left, we see this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're adding to faith. And that word add The diligence is with earnest pursuit, quickly. Don't wait around for it. And that word "add" is speaking about the minister to minister nourishment to. So we need to cultivate these things, and we do so to faith, or we add these things to faith. And then over here in Galatians chapter 5, we see about the fruit of the Spirit and those things that are manifested by the child of God that has the Spirit of God living within. These things are shown outwardly. And look how they're connected. We have faith, and we're to have the fruit of faith. But how do you have the fruit of faith? Well, you show in your conversation that you do believe that God is the Savior, God's in control, God's the one that we look to, God's the one that we trust, God's the one that each and every one of us need to go to for everything. Otherwise, if we talk about being lucky, we talk about happenstance, we're talking about our own efforts and pursuits that we accomplish things, we never mention anything about the Lord, about in anything. They healed up great, and we're glad for it. You know, our faith is never shown in fruit to the world around us if we don't exhibit our trust in the Lord for all things. Right? We're to add virtue, which has a connection to goodness also. I mentioned about it being maturity. Then temperance, there it is. Our temperance is to be added to faith, but it's also to be manifested too. Our self-control is to be manifested to those round about us. Our children learn about whether we're self-controlled or not. Our children learn, and those around us, young in the faith, they learn about whether we do have patience or not. And they very much will follow our example. Very much. They're watching. All are watching all about how to do it right. It's just that way. And then we're to add patience and godliness, again, what the Lord would do, brotherly kindness. And then here we see charity. We're to add charity to faith. And then that's the first fruit of the Spirit, agape love, love with legs on it. Doing. Is there something that needs to be done for someone? Can you do it? Will you do it? Will we do it? And then in this, we see the balance of these that are listed, and I've got the numbers there in the order that they're listed in the passage. Joy. Do we live this life for our Lord in a grudging fashion? Are we peaceful? Are we peaceful, and is that known? Is it known about our peace? So we need to have peace ourselves. But is our peace exhibited to others? Is our long-suffering exhibited to others, to those around about us? Are we gentle and known for that? And do we have ability and power and knowledge and understanding and physical strength and you know, all the things about what we would say maybe with talent and ability? Do we take that and do we use that well, or do we burden people or overload and burden down people with it? And then in regards to these, there's no fulfilling them. We don't ever get done. Until the day that the Lord takes us out of here, we're not done pursuing to add these things and manifest these things in our lives. And so just wanted to bring that in there with that. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, where we left off for last time, in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you," these things added to faith, "be in you and they abound." Okay, so it's kind of like maybe looking at a shelf. You've got all these different kind of things. You're trying to add those. And how do we add? What's the rubber on the road aspect of adding those? Okay, I take my mouth and I don't use it right, and in that I'm not exhibiting with my mouth brotherly kindness. And so when I look up here at the inventory of what I'm adding to my faith, I'm low on brotherly kindness with my mouth. So now, Lord, help me to be sensitive. For example, not to be unkind to my brothers and sisters or to anyone, but in the context here is our brothers and sisters at the very least, with my mouth and my brotherly kindness increase. And it needs to increase a lot. It needs to abound. Okay? Is it on the low ebb? You know, are you and I just satisfied with being saved and that's it? Just saved, going to make it to be with the Lord. May not have any rewards. May just save so as by fire. Is that a desire of a child of God? Is that what we want? No, we want to be profitable for the Lord, don't we? We've got parables that the Lord explains that to us. We don't want to be that way. And so we need to add and have these things inbound in us and pray and pursue and look that they might abound. And if this is so, they make you and I that we shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, to learn of Him. We need to learn of Him in the Scripture, and we need to follow His example, walk with Him, be with Him, and not be, that word barren, the word barren is really talking about a blight. What do you see when you think barren? I think about a tree that's got a few dry leaves on it and no fruit. When I hear that word barren, that's what I think of. If these things are in us and abound, they'll make us to where we'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We've had to take some time to look at our Lord Jesus and see how He was, do the inventory, and look to abound in these things and add these things to our faith, add this way of operation like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll know a lot about Him if we pursue that. But verse number 9, here's the counterpart of it. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Here's the other extreme, blindness. Cannot see very far at all. Know somebody the other day that got their vision tested and they were 2,420. I think that's the way that word is, 2,420. That's blind. Can't see very far. Can't see the one big letter up there on the wall. Can't see that. Can't tell if it's a C or an E or an F or a T. Don't add to our faith. These things don't abound in us. We're not conscious of observing and looking to our Lord Jesus Christ, praying to our Lord for help in these things, asking the Lord to help us to do the inventory, to understand and realize that doing the inventory is important. This is how we can be profitable and fruitful for our Lord, a good representative of Him. If we lack these things, we're blind and we can't see afar off, we can get so far that it can be as hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks can forget that they've been saved. That's how bad it can get. Do you want to get to that point? Do you want to be there to forget that you've been saved? Well, don't add to your faith and you'll get there. And it's a short trip. Oh, that won't happen to me. Oh, look out. It can happen to each and every one of us. It can happen to the pastor. It can happen to the membership. It can happen to every child of God. And the thing is, listen, brothers and sisters, we've been warned. We've been warned. There are those who are saved in the world indeed and over time and even now that they don't know this. But now you and I, we have been shown this. Not because of me, but because of our Lord and His Word. We've been shown this. We want to be fruitful. We want to know about Christ and know Him and how He is, how He would have us to be, and add to our faith these things. See, this is the equipping that we have. It's there available for us, but we've got to pursue it. Do you like a particular game? You know me, I like to play games. I'm not good at it. I make mid threats about winning, and then I get beat. But I like to play games. But you know what? Some games, it seems like the funnest games for me, they take a lot of time to get all the details down. You've got to take yourself and apply yourself to that. Some like video games. And with me, with video games anymore, I can't remember all the hotkeys to be able to get around. Okay? I play against Steven, and he's just there like, he can type as fast as he does, and he's just like making the keyboard smoke, and I can't even catch up. So Joseph and Matthew and I try to gang up on him and beat him. But you got to take time to learn that game. Well, listen, we are willing, I like to do woodworking, welding, fabricating. Didn't learn to do that overnight. I had to take myself and apply myself to that. I had to go get information and bring that over to put it to use. You and I do this all the time in what we are interested in. Do we do it in the things of the Lord? I heard a statement this past week said, I just wish I was able to give an answer out of the Bible against these things that we're facing in the world and dealing with. I just wish I could do that. Others can do that, but I just don't have that, they said. Why don't they have that? This was a professional person. And what I mean by that, they were college trained and working in a professional position in their work for decades. And I'm not maligning anybody that's not, but they applied themselves to this discipline for decades. They know it. They can tell you and I about things in that field that we wouldn't even know that exist. Why? They knuckled down and buckled down and they dealt with the subjects. They figured it out. They did the time in school. They did the time after school. They did the time OJT. And they learned this discipline. We naturally are willing to learn everything else that's out there but what the Lord says in His Word. And I know that's pretty stiff and strong, but that's just the truth. And we need to learn what our Lord has given us because disciplines of this life are necessary to work and feed our families. But they are not eternal. But what the Lord's given us here is eternal. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Let us set the priority. One that would say such a thing, and I'm not looking to be down on them. It's just the answer is obviously in front of them. Being the person and having the pursuits that they have had, they are capable of gaining knowledge. Now, understand, I'm not saying that the Word of God is intellectual, all purely intellectual. It is spiritually discerned. But this person claims that they are saved. Therefore, they have the Spirit of God living within them. Therefore, they have all the promises that God has given to someone with the Spirit of God living within them. They can learn. But got to try. Got to pick out the subjects and mine it out. Go get help. You know, I was thinking about this week. What I know as your pastor and as a brother in Christ, I've been taught by others. There's no shame in that. That's not wrong. That's the design of the Lord. We namely need to be taught by the Lord. But the Lord uses others. That's the reason we have classes. That's the reason we have teachers. That's the reason we have a multiple of services during the week for the pastor or in our case, Brother Stephen to preach and teach. You brethren that take the classes, you ladies that teach the children. It's the reason we can learn. And we must don't think that it's got to be an original idea with you, but you do need to grab a hold of it for yourself. So you can make the defense for what the subject is. I just don't know where to start. Okay, come talk to your pastor. Okay, come talk to your pastor. Or talk to a brother and sister in the church that you trust. You can get there. And we need to get there because we're the ones, we here are one pillar and ground of the truth in this region. There's nobody else to do it if we don't do it. Okay? And so let us not be barren. And so it goes on here in the latter part of verse 8. We don't want to be barren. We don't want to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If we lack these things, we're blind, can't see afar off, have forgotten he was purged from his old sins. I know while we were quarantined, Brother Mark, I think you crossed over this passage, Brother Mark, and appreciated that lesson. Folks will use this to say that this blindness is talking about the loss of salvation. That's not the case. This passage is written to save people. Period. It's written to the children of God. So that's the context. It's not talking about anybody losing their salvation. I think we know from just the one passage this morning that no one can lose their salvation. Amen. If the Lord has saved you, the Lord will keep you. That's the way he does. But this is the shape. And how is it? What examples do we have in the scriptures? You know, we have the examples of Lot. We have the example of Samson. We have the example of Ananias and Sapphira. The Lord put those things in there so we would understand. We have the example, although they're not named, of those brothers and sisters in the church at Corinth. The weak, the sick, and the dead. We have the example, if you whichever side you take of it, King Saul. I believe King Saul was a saved man, but he was infantile in growing up in the Lord. If in fact he was saved. And so those examples are there. There's these little caveats all through the New Testament scriptures that says, do you have the Spirit of God within you? If our preaching has not been in vain, you know, all those kind of little caveats. Are you saved? Do you have the Spirit of God within you? Pardon me. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, he said, it's just dark to go over there and think about that side of it, but it's true. Stay away from that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Have you been called? Did the Lord, I'm not saying you heard Jesus say, Jim, come to me. I'm not saying that you heard those words, but were you called by the Lord and him taking his word and saying, you're the sinner that needs to be saved. Oh, it's me. You are guilty before me, and your guilt is bad guilt. Damnation, hell for eternity. And I am the Savior that you need. I paid it all. Come to me. Receive me. Believe and trust in me. Make your call. Did the Lord call you? They call you. Make your calling. Do you want to? What is it with a call? We see that there in the Gospels, don't we? With the Lord Jesus, he says to the disciples, to those that would be his disciples of John the Baptist early on, he says, come follow me. Do you hear the Lord? Is the Lord saying to you, come follow me? Are you obeying him and him saying, come follow me? Or you say, later. Make your calling. And thereby also make your election sure. Because see, the elect of God, which Lord willing we'll touch upon Wednesday night, the elect of God are known because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way the elect of God can be known on this side. We don't have a book. There's not a book up here in the pulpit that tells us who the elect of God is. But we know that it's so. But the elect of God are known by their faith in Christ. They're known by their repentance of their sins. They're known by being sheep that hear the voice of Jesus. Make your calling and election sure. Was it an emotional thing? You know, I had times when I was a youngster that I thought because I cried I was saved. I mean, I was very scared unto crying. And so I thought that was being saved. And the thing is when someone's saved, they very well may cry, but crying doesn't save. The Lord's the one that saves, and that does impact us emotionally. Some people will laugh, some people will grin, some people will cry. Everybody's different, but it's not the laughing or the crying or the emotion that saves. It's the Lord Jesus that saves, and are we brought to faith in what He did on Calvary for me? Not for us, but for me. You would say for you. You believe and trust that He did that for you. If your calling is sure, indeed your election is sure. You believe Him, don't you? Therefore, we are the children of God. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And again, that is another reference that is used, falling from grace. You know, the grace of the Lord. And we'll see that as we go through these things. When the Lord sets to work, He works. And He's going to work. Nobody's going to stop Him. He's God. He's created us. He knows the beginning from the end. From the standpoint of salvation, the love, we saw this morning, the love of the Lord is eternal and faithful always. If He gave His Son, shall He not freely give us all things? I mean, how could you deny that? How could even one stand up? Folks do. But falling, from the standpoint of falling in salvation, no, one can never be unsaved that have been saved. There's no other way to be saved. If salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ didn't work the first time, it won't work the second. Amen? There's nothing left. There's nothing left but the salvation of the Lord to save. If it didn't work the first time, it won't work the second or the third. But we know it's effectual, don't we? But then falling, we can fall in our life, can't we? We can be a disgrace to our Lord, can't we? And you know, Satan loves it, and the world just loves it when a child of God that has claimed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and tried to live a godly, holy life for Him, and they go astray and they go wandering from their Lord, and they go back and delve into the things of the world and that from which they are saved. It's hard for us on the natural side to believe that they were saved. But again, with these examples in the Scripture, it's possible indeed that they were. We wouldn't know Lot was saved unless Peter told us. There's not enough evidence in Genesis for us to believe that he would be. It's scant at best. We can fall in our lives, can't we? We can disgrace our Lord. As one brother said it years ago, we can be taken and put up on a shelf to where we can't be effectively used for the Lord anymore. Don't add to our faith. That's what can happen. We can't be effective anymore. We can't be used anymore. Our witness has no power being in that. We don't add to our faith.
Why is somebody going to want something that you and I give lip service to, but our lives don't match up with it? If you do these things, you shall never fall. But if we do diligently add to our faith and seek to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and mortify the deeds of the flesh and put the old man down, then we will never fall. Verse 11. I love this verse included in this, the reading of this passage. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. both here. We enjoy the fellowship of the saints, right? We enjoy the fellowship that we have here on a weekly basis with one another. We can, it's for us naturally, we can become complacent with that. Let us value that because it's a blessing. This is a touch of the heavenly. And what makes it, what might make it dull and boring in that? Understand that that's our problem with our flesh. We need to take and put in to the worship, put into the service. And when we give ourselves to it, to the worship and glorification of the Lord, we will have a blessing in return. Our goal is not to get a blessing, but we will get a blessing when we come to honor our Lord and worship and service to Him. We have an entrance now into this fellowship that we have in the church amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ. But we can only imagine what it's going to be like when our Lord Jesus stands up at His throne, when we pass from this life and go to the life to come and go to glory to be with Him. As He stood up for Brother Stephen, I believe He stands up for all the saints that come. Because precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the saints. And to be ushered into that brightness and that glory and that rejoicing, to see our Savior face to face and be there with Him and with the Father and with the saints that have gone on before us. These saints written about in the Scriptures, those that we've known here on the earth in our lifetimes, and those that we don't even know will be at home with our Lord and our family eternally. What an entrance. If you're here and you're not saved, the entrance that you have that lays before you is an entrance into hell. As it says there in Luke, and in hell He lift up His eyes. That's a terrible entrance. But what a glorious entrance there is for the children of God. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. The angels were carious. We won't have we in doing these things and adding to our faith and manifesting these things like Christ, we won't be ashamed at His coming. Right? It's another passage in the Scriptures. An entrance ministered unto you abundantly. Have you ever had a surprise birthday party? Surprise anniversary party, something like that, and your family pulled it off and they really surprised you. Some are really hard to surprise. They just kind of got ears out. They can hear what color socks people are wearing. They just know when something's going on. But you pull that off, and how exciting that can be. I tell you what, the entrance into be with our Lord, the Lord Jesus, and all our brothers and sisters in Christ, our Father, will be happy to see us and rejoicing that we've come. I mean, how do you interpret that? A glorious entrance, abundantly ministered. What else does that mean? For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had hoped to get farther, but we'll look next time. We'll look in next time in regards to this equipping. So we've given instructions about what to do, the blessing and the help that is unto us. And next time, Lord willing, we'll look in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. We got to put it on. It's been made for us. Do you think that has the supply chain issues affected the armor making ability of the Lord for His saints? Not at all. The armor is there, isn't it? But we, you and I, must put it on. Brother Jim, I don't know how to put it on. Okay, I understand that. I understand that. There you go. You've got something to pray about. Lord, how do I put it on? I see here what You say that it is. Help me understand how I can put it on. I don't know how to use it, Brother Jim. Okay, there's something else to pray for. Lord, help me to put it on and help me to use it. Help me to understand how to use it to glorify you. Let us not say, let us not have the attitude, I want to know so I can know as much as brother or sister so-and-so. No, see, that's not where we're at. It's not a competition. We want to know, we want to learn, we need to learn to apply for the sake of serving, worshiping, and glorifying our Lord.
That's what we're called into.